right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Thomas Prower. We're going to start out talking about his book, Queer Magic. You know, I almost got distracted. You have another book I'm very interested in, Morbid Magic, which, you know, if we don't have time to get to today, believe me, I would love to talk about that because, you know, morbid is definitely...
Our two favorite things, being morbid and magic. So kind of covered all the bases here.
Right. So the case of queer magic, I was reading about this, and it seems to be a lot of the history of, you know, queerness throughout the history with deities and heroes and historical figures like your book says. But then it also includes spells and stuff like that. So really, what is the connection that we're getting at here with queer magic?
Queer magic is meant to be essentially a springboard for everything queer in like the mystical community. Mm-hmm. So it has both the history of where queer people were back throughout time, because it's strange when you look into it, having this kind of like, oh, they're not really fully men or they're not really fully women. In a lot of cultures around the world, it was regarded as just, oh, they must be in touch with the divine. They must have some magic powers. They must be magically different somehow. So a lot of queer people throughout history were like shamans, magic workers, spell casters who could get in touch with that, you know, that je ne sais quoi. And it's just everywhere. So with this book, especially being a Llewellyn book, it needs some like explicit magic in there for the audience. So it's a mix of history. It goes over what's been happening where throughout history all over the world. It gives you practical spells, tips, tricks, and stuff that you can do on your own. It also has people from all over the world in the book that I invited to write what it's like being a queer person in this region of the world, in this religion. So you have stories of how some are magic workers and how they use their magic and, you know, living as a Muslim in India. You have people who are queer people living in heavily Confucius inspired Japan, and it's their stories because it's, you know, I mean, look at me, I look straight out of Dublin, so I can't just be writing everyone's story about what it is. I get the facts.
Of course. Right.
I'm half Mexican, but that's, I'm not the United Nations in and of itself. So it's
right.
It's the springboard to just, here's everything, 101. We're going to go through it real fast. Whatever you like, explore on your own. And here's some tips and tricks on how to find more, too.
Yeah. Well,
let's start at the beginning because, you know, as soon as you said going back in history, you know, the automatic question that it prompts for me is there a connection between queerness and the occult on a mystical level, or was it forced on them due to them being, for lack of a better word, the first definition of queer in the dictionary? Were they so odd that people forced them into this world, or is there, was there maybe a connection that put them
there? It's both, really, because if you really want to get like down to the psychology of it, it's the way society perceives you kind of has an effect on your own subconscious and of who you are.
Yeah,
if you have like Mesopotamia, where you have people first coming together to create urban civilization, all these roles in society are brand new. It's everyone's just starting out. So everyone's kind of seeing, you know, we don't have to hunt. We don't have to gather anymore. What else do I do with my time? What else am I good at? And people start saying, oh, well, you're different in this way, so maybe it's because of this magical power you have. And then people think, I have a magical power? Maybe I do have a magical power. And then they start exploring
like
that. You know, it's like kids. It's like, you're really good at this. You can do this. Mm. And that inspires them to really look into it. So I'm sure a lot of people inherently had it, and those are probably the people that excelled. But sometimes it takes society saying, you're good at this, or have you looked into this? And they look into it themselves for the first time because they have to be explicitly told by someone else you might not realize.
Right.
So a bit of both. A bit of both.
Right. I see the comparison, not a lot different than racial stereotypes forcing abilities onto people that they grow up grow up feeling confident in, you know. What were you about to say, Karen?
Well, so just for our listeners, what are some of the cultures we're talking about here? Because I think a lot of people who aren't, like, queer and grow up in sort of a Western background are going to be really surprised to hear that historically there's any connection between being queer and being spiritual, because, like, in predominantly Christian culture, it's like, you know, what religion has to say about being queer is that it's bad, basically. But that's obviously not the case everywhere. So
it's not. I mean, even on a brief interlude to that, even in Christianity, it wasn't. Because early Christianity, when it was, you know, the being thrown in the lion's den, the heavy Roman persecution, when you're that small and you're that beat upon by the man, you take what you can get. So they were not picky on who joined, you know. They weren't going to say, oh, here, we're this small rabble-rousing people starting a new religion. Oh, but your sexuality is like that. We can't accept you right now.
Oh, that's
interesting. That didn't start happening until you get powerful. And when you are powerful, you can kind of start to pick and choose.
Mm.
So
that makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Yeah, but even but back to it.
Disturbing that it makes a lot of sense, but it does.
I mean, the answer to every question is, are you in power or are you not in power? And then that defines on how you do your trajectory, especially with queerness. But right. Even inherently in a lot of religions around the world, when I say a lot, I mean pretty much everything, down from, you know, tribal religions in North America, Amazon down in South America. I mean, the book goes over everything. We go through prehistory. We go through all the Middle East, all of Sub-Saharan Africa, all the major religions you heard of, all the religions you kind of heard of.
Right.
And then just different cultural traditions takes on it. So any place in the world that you can think of, not only is it have some sort of queer history, but it's also in the book. And, you know, it's not a voluminous compendium. So it's a little look at everything, but there's stuff out there if you're willing to look and if you're willing to dig. That's the important part.
Yeah. So relating queerness to magic really is something that's sort of ubiquitous throughout history.
It is. It really is. And what's tricky about when looking into queer history, which is also kind of like, you know, eye roll, like, really? Really? Is that you have a lot of history that's written, and I won't say like queerness is just fully erased, but it's
right.
These weird mental gymnastics that people have to go through, especially like our
Sappho and her friend.
Oh my God. Yeah. There was this famous case in back in Victorian Britain when they were uncovering all these Egyptian tombs, and they found this grand one with, you know, two men inside this gilded sarcophagus, and two men were painted all over the sanctum walls, and, you know, with their noses together. And, you know, now we look at them, we're like, oh, well, they were probably lovers. And all the art, they're obviously lovers. You know what they said? The official explanation was, oh, these must be conjoined twins.
They sure are conjoined, if you want to.
Yeah, they were 50% right.
But that's the thing. It's a lot of history. It's just, it's there, but it's not fully there. So, I mean, a lot of historical figures were quite queer, and it's just not written about. I mean, you have King Richard the Lionheart. You have many of the samurai of Japan. You have tons and tons of people, tons of saints.
Cheap time. Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Because of the probability of our power being shut off during wind events or fires, many people are installing standby generators. Shasta Gas is now selling standby generators with propane tanks so that you will have home power during these outages. Give us a call at 365-3793 to get a quote on a generator and tank installation. That number again is 365-3793.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland.
Before we even had this interview, and, you know, maybe I should include this for other cis straight people out there like myself, I had to quiz Kara a little bit to make sure that I was right on what I thought queer meant. Because, you know, like a lot of people.
Literally right before the show started, he's right like, before, okay,
well,
so
I already quizzed my wife
queer,
about it earlier.
What does queer mean, Kara? I'm like, well, that's what the show's about. And then it's like, no, but seriously, I don't want to look like an idiot.
Right, well, you know, I grew up, and to me, queer was synonymous with gay.
Right.
In the world that I grew up in. It was not synonymous with lesbian, transgender, any of the other. It was specifically gay men that it was synonymous with to me in my world of my upbringing. But, you know, obviously that's not the case now, or it wouldn't be included with gay in the letters. So when we're talking about queer, we're looking at, and this is not me telling you or really asking you, I'm just trying to help the audience understand that we're talking about gender and sexuality outside of what is the norm in throughout history. Is that, and I air quoted the norm for anybody who's not watching. But that's pretty much what we're getting at here. And correct me if I'm wrong, of course, before I go on.
No, I mean, it's tricky. I mean, even if I say, like, this is what queer is, it's really just my idea of it. Because
right.
Even nowadays, I mean, you have people who read queer magic and it's like, that's offensive. That's a slur. Well, it is a slur. I mean, it is. I mean, if some, you know, very straight man looked at me and was like queer, he did not mean that in a friendly way. He did not mean that in a friendly way.
No, right. Unless he was some sort of 1800s British investigator, and he was
queer,
acknowledging
queer.
A clue. He's all very queer.
Yes, where were you on the night of the 21st?
Right.
Don't leave the hotel until we have this sorted.
Exactly. I mean, everything depends on who says it, how they say it, why they say it. The way I do it is if when people come to you and they honestly have a question and it might be offensive, you know, I might be the only person that they're like, I need to ask this question. You know, like when you need to ask medical questions online because you don't want to ask people. So you like look it up and it's like, is this it? Those anonymous doctor questions.
Sure.
It's a lot of things. Because if you have people who are just really scared to ask questions, they'll never get answers.
Oh, you know? Absolutely. I lean heavily on my friends of different genders, races. My wife, who's obviously a woman and I am a man, I have to lean heavily on her for some information on 50% of the damn population. You know, so it's like, you know, absolutely, you know, but it's the friendships and the intentions there. Like, you know, there's no such thing as a bad word. It's just the intentions, you know. Every word, I mean, if you get rid of it, you get rid of the history associated with it. In the case of the third gender, this is something I've heard a lot about from Native American tribes. I'm sure it's just some, you know, we kind of suffer from clumping them into one culture when really there were hundreds. This third gender, it's interesting because, okay, so again, if I get offensive, let's do this. Historically,
we'll execute you summarily and I'll take over the interview. Yeah. Ask me questions.
Historically, gay
don't
men
be scared.
Historically, gay men have been much more prevalent throughout history. You know, one assumption to that could be that men have more power and therefore could get away with it. You know, the other could be that maybe it's more common in these other cultures. You know, is there some connection there? And why is that so much more common throughout history of men being the queer?
I think
I'm wording this very,
well,
very
well. Very much.
Yes.
No, I totally get what you mean.
Yeah.
I think you hit it on the head, and it diverts into a couple different things. But I really do think it's about power, because when you have the power, you write the history, and you have, you know, especially when I was looking through like the ancient and the oldest of the old and all these cultures where men really had the power, they're not going to write about women. I mean, because it would be the same to them as writing the history of what that chair did on an everyday. Women were property.
Right.
Straight up. It was
the history of livestock. Right.
Yeah, just not even worth being thought of. So a lot of stuff could have happened. It's just that it wasn't recorded and we don't know about it because we don't know the average life of a chair, you know, back in ancient Greece.
Right.
So that's part of it. But the other thing is that I wouldn't say it's more common, but again, when you're in a position of power, things are more okay. You know, like when a very wealthy person does something very weird, they're just eccentric. When a poor person does it, they're crazy. So when you have this person, you're in a position of power and you want to fool around, it's okay. You'll justify it. It'll start work its way into the religion. It'll start working its way into the laws. It'll start working its way into different things. And you can be more out and open with it because, you know, if you're the king or you're the ruling class, what's anyone going to say about it, you know?
Right.
So it's a lot more visible because they can afford to be visible because there's not going to be as much backlash of it.
Now, how visible are we talking, you know? As somebody growing up learning about this, a lot of people, at least in my age bracket, you know, people, I'd like to think my kids are a hell of a lot more educated about this stuff than I was. And, you know, my dad didn't even come out until after my mom died and I was 18. My brother was in his early 20s, although we had some idea prior to that, but he didn't actually come out open about it until my mother had died. So we didn't get quite the education that one might have thought. And so I'm curious, most of us in our first historical education on this was that it was openly accepted in Greece and Rome. But how openly accepted? You know, when we say openly accepted, that makes one think like, oh, you see a couple on the road, there might be two men, there might be two women, there might be a man and a woman. That's openly accepted. We're all fine with it. You know, but how openly accepted are we talking?
It's tricky to answer, which is not a cop-out question, but it's
oh, no, it's fine. I understand.
It's real tricky because back then, even the idea of the idea of queerness, it wasn't something that you were. Like in ancient Greece and Rome, being queerness was a verb. It's what you did. And especially in ancient Greece,
that makes sense.
The genders were separated. Like unless they were like eating, you know, the last night dinner and they were going to bed, the genders were separated. Women stayed exclusively with women and men stayed exclusively with men. Sounds and like so hell. When that happens, other things start happening.
Right.
And so relationships start feeling, if your entire life is surrounded by men and that's all you know growing up and you only see, you know, a woman when you go home and go to sleep, and you might even be sleeping with them. It's more seen. It's more accepted as okay, and you start having it. What was not okay is that because this is a verb in those times, is that, and this thing still lingers on to today and in cultures all over the world, but if you are the top, that is okay. If you are, you know, the penetrator, if you are the person who is the active partner,
the person,
oh, that's
power.
Okay because you are dominant. You
the
are
person perceived as being in power, you know.
Yeah, because it goes back to a lot of misogyny. Because if you are the receiving partner, you are a woman, and being a woman, that is what's bad.
But the normality of it, you know, they would have us believe that part of the coming of age was doing that. That, you know, I can't tell what I hear is propaganda when it comes to that part of history, the Greeks and the Romans, and what is the reality of the situation. But people would have me believe that it was a coming of age, ritualistic aspect of their lives and everybody's life, at least in the soldier class.
It was to an extent because hitting my laptop. I was to an extent because when you really look into it, they had these relationships which would not be okay today, but. It was seen as mentorship, where an older man would kind of be the mentor, the teacher, the tutor to a younger person to right. make them, you know, instruct them in the arts, instruct them in the arts of war, and instruct them in how to be an adult citizen in Greece. But that also involved helping them become a man, you know, sexually. Right. So you had people who would guide these young boys, you know, through what we would consider elementary school up and through high school. And, you know, a lot of changes happen. And they would be the first one. And they would teach you, this is how you make love to a man. And it would not be okay today. But back right. then, it was very ritualistic in that sense. Not just the sexuality of it, but because it was part of this entire mentorship acolyte process. We all change, but not so much.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans, and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Thomas Prower. We're talking about his new book, Queer Magic, and you know, we've spent a lot of time talking about the history and the queerness of the topic, but not a huge amount of time on the magic. So, you know, when I think of magic, at least I think of like light and dark magic, and maybe that's a little high fantasy of me or something. You know, is there a specific type of magic or attitude of magic that queer people throughout history have been associated with?
I mean, not only does that change from culture to culture, but even when you talk about what magic is and you get into the fine details of it, like it's everything's up for grabs. But if you want to talk about one thing specific, like throughout all the cultures, again, it's being that divine intercessor. It's being the one people who can connect with the other world, which can in a way be light and dark if you say that, you know, they can reach the gods above. They're more in touch with that spirituality. They're in touch with this other dimension of, you know, the heavenly beings. But they're also in touch with the other side of the veil, you know, the underground, the ancestors, the dead. Just anything that's in this, what we'd say like an other dimension, they can kind of transcend that. They can cross these, you know, boundaries and borders because they're seen as more more fluid. They're seen as not one thing, you know, because they're not men, but they're not women. So what are they? Right. You know, it's...
The way I've heard it explained, and correct me if this is wrong, but it's sort of like queer people throughout history have sort of been seen as being in two categories at once, and so they've sort of been like, okay, that obviously makes you someone who is in a liminal state by your very nature. You know, you're automatically just in multiple categories, and therefore that crosses over to magic too. Is that sort of what the logic was?
It is, because going back to it again, when it's how society sees you, because queer right. people in everywhere have always been a minority. And mm-hmm. when the magical systems, the rules, and how we're going to manifest things start getting into play, majority opinion rules. And so if majority sure. opinion says these people are good at this, that kind of becomes the default accepted norm over 10 years, over a century, over a millennium.
See, so, what's weird to me, though, is that people who aren't queer, because they are the majority, would sort of choose to give queer people the power in this way. Like, you know, they would choose to elevate people who are not them to high positions in society in many cases, shamans and whatnot, because they're different. That's like, it's very strange.
It's tricky because it's not always a good thing. It depends on where in the world you talk about. Like if you talk about Iberia, the Chukchi tribe, the queer shamans are the most powerful because they have the power of men and they have the power of women and the power of the unknown. You know, so no one wants to mess with them. But right. I have all this power, but it's also very lonely at the top. A lot of them don't have friends. A lot of them are ostracized because everyone's so scared of their power. So it's like,
that's interesting.
You when we need something, but like, don't stay away, stay away. So it's
like vampire hunters in Eastern Europe who were thought to be half vampire. And so they were valued for their ability to kill vampires, but also ostracized for their unholy heritage. Yes, got to connect everything to vampires somehow. Thank you. I did it for this episode. I'm good. I did my goal.
That's your one per list.
Yeah, exactly. Check that off.
So, you know, but I'm assuming it's not always so black and white, because if you think about musicians and artists, here's an area where being gay or being queer was maybe a little more outwardly shown. And in certain aspects, they were considered greats. And in other aspects, that very same person might be under the boot heel of somebody in power who belittles them. And that boot heel is accepted by the people around them. Do you get what I'm saying with this? I don't know if I'm explaining this very well, but in one aspect of their life, they are glorified. But mm-hmm. in the other aspect, they're very much not.
It's true. And again, you know, it's impossible to think of like generalities with this, but what's real tricky and always like important to remember is that a lot of times when people look back at history or they think back to the past, even the recent past, they look at it from a very modern perspective. So they have like, this is what queer is. And this is like the power struggle. So this is how it must have been, you know, 500 years ago. And the entire way society relates to itself is different. I mean, again, back to ancient Mesopotamia, when you're writing the very first laws in Hammurabi's code, and it's like, okay, everyone, we need to have some sort of structure in how we're going to do this. Nothing about queerness is mentioned. Scholarly research on that says that it's because it was just such a mundane, accepted fact of life that it wouldn't need to be regulated. You know, it was just like, oh. We don't need to talk about it because it's not a big thing.
But the argument could also be made that it was shunned and they didn't want to talk about it.
It's true. It's true. And again, it's hard to get pinpoint definitive answers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So when you have those kind of like discussions and you have those kinds of talks, you have to look at it from not only that perspective, but remember that that perspective also wasn't the perspective. It's a weird rabbit hole of like, placing your mind outside yourself and in this group, but then you also have to put your mind in this other group that was there, but we only have so much information.
Of course.
Got to do some queer channeling in order to understand the nature of queerness. It's just you got a chicken or the egg kind of problem. I'm totally on a different thing.
Go ahead.
I'm on Tumblr a lot. I feel like most of the queer people I know there are witches. Is this becoming like a thing in Western culture? Are queer people more drawn to the occult, or am I in a weird witchy bubble, which I probably am anyway? But
I don't think it's they're drawn to the occult so much as it's they're drawn to the punk rock ostracizedness of it. Because if
that's fair,
you look at the rock community, you know, a lot more accepting. You look in, you know, even the vampire community is
more
accepting. All these ostracized groups kind of see another outsider, and it's like, okay, you're one of us. We're all weird. We're all different for different reasons. We don't care.
Right.
We're the outsiders. We're the misfits.
Yeah, that tracks. That makes sense.
You know, and the punk rock comparison, growing up playing in bands in a small town, we would have shows, and there would be a punk band, an acoustic act, some ska band, and you know, there would be basically all these small scenes that had no followings would band together, and you would get the craziest eclectic shows that seemed perfectly normal at the time. But if you were going to a larger town where there were these larger scenes, you know, you wouldn't see a hardcore straight edge band playing with a super drunk gutter punk band. But in the small town, they would, because, you know, who else are you going to play with? Where else are you going to find the venue? And so on and so forth. So that makes sense that the marginalized, I don't even know if that's the best word to use. It's just people band together to create larger groups of safety and security and success.
Yeah, and the other big part of it is that magic is very powerful. Even if you cannot affect magic in the world, having that sense of feeling powerful is very important and very attractive to people who are told they're no good, to people who are said, you have no power, you are evil, you're bad. Suddenly you find this kind of like worldview and this practice system wherein you can not only have power, but you can affect the world around you in a very physical way. And that attracts a lot of people who are, you know, outcasts, a lot of people who are put down by society. Just that sense of finding power again, and witchcraft offers that. So you get all of these sites coming in, and the queer minority just kind of just fits in all of them.
That's interesting, because in this discussion, we've kind of hit a weird split, and that's maybe an interesting point that had happened in history, where historically speaking, the odd and the strange were forced into these roles. And then at some point in history, it seems to have switched to a place where the odd and the put outside found safety in these roles. Because it seems to say that at the beginning evolution of this, it was society that saw these people as different and said, whoa, you go there. You know, and now people say, I'm different. Oh, I'm going to go here. You know, and it's like, I don't know. It's an interesting change, where maybe there was no change at all. It's just a change of our perspective.
I imagine some self-selection has always happened, but yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like, nowadays, we, in our modern world, we have the luxury where different is good. I mean, if you're going back then, the earliest times, being different, looking different, oh, that was bad. In any sort of way. Oh, you have this weird little deformity? Oh, you must be from devil.
Oh, yeah.
Hair lip. This curse on you. Oh, you must be part of this other tribe that we hate. You know, it's being different was a liability.
Yeah, hair lip was a sign of, like, the devil and all sorts of just weird stuff. Yeah, but, man, we're terrible throughout history. We have just been terrible.
I mean...
But I guess there's some positivity to say that throughout history we have survived and gotten slightly better, so we may not be that terrible.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
This is Reading Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Reading utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit readingchamber.com or cityofreading.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Because of the probability of our power being shut off during wind events or fires, many people are installing standby generators. Shasta Gas is now selling standby generators with propane tanks so that you will have home power during these outages. Give us a call at 365-3793 to get a quote on a generator and tank installation. That number again is 365-3793.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. Thankfully, it appears that Coach Master Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coach Master is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
In your book description, we're talking about heroes and gods throughout history. Let's go with gods. What gods would stick out in your mind as fitting the criteria of what we're talking about? You
know? Loki.
Loki?
Loki was definitely very queer. I mean,
I'm shattered.
Heck. You didn't know that? Everyone knows that.
I've seen Tom Hiddleston. I knew that.
Loki is a gender fluid icon. Yeah.
I didn't know much about it.
If you look into like the prose and the poetic Eddas of it all, where, you know, the Icelandic tales of Loki, there's this very famous scene where he's essentially, the plot is that all the gods are calling Loki out for being a weird trickster and like, stop it, you know, stop being such a troublemaker. So they're this council, they're calling him out, and he's just like, well, look who's talking, and kind of just like goes back on everyone and essentially gets to Odin and is like, it's interesting how you know this kind of magic that you can only get via a ceremony where you have to bottom as a woman.
That's Odin too.
So, you know, and Odin's like, huh. But
yeah.
There's a lot of that.
That's interesting because I look at Norse mythology. I think a lot of people look at Norse mythology as being like the manliest of mythologies. You know,
we're talking like Viking era culture of Scandinavia. Uh-huh. Oh yeah, being queer was absolutely not okay. Being a woman was absolutely not okay. but the most powerful people were lesbian women just because of the ratio of women. If you have so many women, because women are so hated in society, that you only have this small number of women you could marry, if she's a lesbian and you marry her, you can't divorce her. And she knows that. And so you have these women going off saying, look, I'm going to have an extramarital affair with this other woman. You are not going to divorce me, because what other chance of getting another woman do you got?
Right.
You want to have an heir, you're going to put up
with this. That's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, there's so many, like Amaterasu, the sun goddess in Japan. She's a very like self-hating queer deity, but she's very queer, very attractive. Yeah, I mean, it's
self-hating for being queer or self-hating.
Get Amaterasu some therapy. I mean,
she doesn't like queerness, but she's also very queer, and it's like okay when she does it, but it's not okay when the other gods do it.
Yeah,
kind of a way.
Mm-hmm.
It, very human, very petty.
Right.
You have what's his name? You have Krishna in the Hindu cultures, who's was this god of love, among other things, but the pure essence of love, where it doesn't matter what you look like, it doesn't matter your sexuality. I mean, he loves you. He loves you platonically. He loves you romantically. He loves you sexually. He is just love incarnate.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's certain branches within Hinduism, because Hinduism is a spaghetti mess in and of itself, like what the lineation of the gods and what is official. But there's certain religions where a cisgender male can get in touch with the divine by getting in touch with his feminine side. And by getting in touch with his feminine side, especially through Krishna, you can be more attractive to heterosexual women. So it's both a way to get the ladies and a way to get enlightened through the divine. There's the Yoruba god of healing, whose name has escaped me right now, which isn't good. I think it's Oshun, or I'll look it up in a second. But what he was about was he was this, you know, very fierce healing deity, very masculine, but he was also the goddess of the rivers, and he would change into a woman.
Sure.
And because he could understand a woman so much, the female goddess of love married him because, oh, here's a man who understands women. Then she got upset because he also liked men and would go off into the woods with the god of war and start, you know, having jam sessions and play music. And then they developed a relationship, and then he stopped coming to her. And it's this whole kind of Melrose Place drama where things are happening.
That's amazing.
Oh, and there's so much of this.
Yeah. We want him to understand a woman, but not too well. Yeah. Kind of what she was thinking.
In the Inuit culture, Sedna, who's the lesbian goddess of death in the sea, and her whole...
Like her.
Mm-hmm.
Goth girlfriend.
Her whole thing was she didn't want to marry anybody. She was just not interested in marriage. But, you know, her father really wanted her to get married to continue the line and have babies. So she jokingly married a dog to like, oh, look, Dad, I'm finally getting married. You should be happy. Ha, ha, ha. Well, he got upset and killed her and threw her into, yeah, I know, killed her, threw her into the ICC, and she found a lesbian lover there. So she was like, no, I'm cool. I'm just going to stay down here now. I found someone I love, and her and I are also going to take vengeance upon all of humanity and you by withholding the bounty of the sea if you don't treat me right anymore.
Now, in that culture, is that any sort of, you know, I mean, I don't mean to roll to the negative, but I mean, that is the world that we live in here. Is that any vilification of her sexuality, why she was put in that role with that?
No, it was just because she was being a rebellious daughter.
I see.
It wasn't that she was gay. It's just that she wasn't.
Getting married.
Yeah, she wasn't following tradition.
I see.
Right.
And that was more important because the family honor, the family shame.
You know, because I was thinking about that earlier, like we were talking about how queer people throughout history were put into this role of spiritualization from walking both sides. We're automatically putting the two on them, man, woman. And then you were talking about how even today pagans and belief in natural magic would question that. And is there, I assume that there's a lot of belief that they're there because of their unnaturalness, because of their connection to the other side. It's not necessarily the man, woman being both sides, but the fact that this person is being unnatural connects them to the unnaturalness. Does that make sense how I'm putting it?
It does. I get it. I would say it's more, I wasn't say it's a mix that they're both, but it's the fact it's when you take away labels are very powerful. If you can say this is this and that is that, you can kind of control and understand your world. But if you have this thing that has no label and you cannot pinpoint it, they're not saying they're men, they're not saying they're women, there's no definition for them in your culture, you can't pinpoint that. And so you can't right. grasp it, you can't hold it down, and it becomes this nebulous liminal thing. And the other nebulous liminal things you have are like the big questions, death, God, religion, spirituality. So they kind of start falling into that category of things we cannot explain and cannot understand and cannot even put words to, so it must be in the same category.
I'm right. just imagining like an unexplained podcast, you know, Bigfoot, UFOs, gay people. It's
just... Well, you're on it.
Which apparently is us now that I realize because we're doing this topic. But and before we go, one more time, where can people find your new book?
Also, African God is Erinle, if you want to look that up.
The one Erinle, absolutely. Yeah, I love that.
But if you want to look me up, I'm on the social media everywhere under my name, TOMASPROWER, Tomas Brower. I was about to say, you know, you can go to a bookstore, but maybe you can't go to a bookstore.
Right. Yeah.
But, you can go online, check out the books, buy from your local if you can online. You hit me up on social media if you want to learn more. You know, I don't bite. Facebook's probably the best place. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm trying to build those, so I don't really tweet and I don't really Instagram, but it's there.
If you joined, you might start.
I mean, you know, we got to start somehow.
We get a bunch of people to join, you'll be like,
Yeah,
but just social media. I have a website, which is my name again, TOMASPROWER. But yeah, if you just type in Tomas Brower into Google, you'll find some way to contact me, or you'll find some of my books and stuff. So hit me up on there. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, we've really enjoyed having you on. This was a very fun conversation. You know.
All right. Yeah.
And we hope to have you on again. Please consider coming back on to talk about morbid magic, death, spirituality, and culture from around the world. Sounds like a fun topic as well. And thank you. You've been listening to Tomas Brower right here on Radio Wasteland.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.